in this journey of mine to build wealth, grow my business, and, you know, find my way through life as a young man, I made a lot of mistakes, like a lot of people. Now, luckily, I got the big things right. If you get the big things right, it'll cover a multitude of sins in the financial world. But I made some big mistakes, man. I probably cut my potential in half. And I think everyone can look back. Billionaires can probably look back and think of the things they did wrong. And so, not crying over spilt milk. I'm just sharing with you mistakes that I made. Real mistakes. These, not like, oh, I should have invested in that and I didn't. I have a ton of those. But I mean like life choices that really, really had long-lasting consequences. I think that's what gets most people. In my teaching with my network marketing company, I talk on the idea of the three Ds: death, divorce, and disease. These are the things that tend to get us, right? Death, divorce, and disease. These are the three Ds that will destroy your wealth. You know, we're all coming at death, and the only one of those three that we might have any control over is somewhat is divorce. I don't know that we have control over disease. I mean, I guess we can do things to limit these things, but ultimately we're all going to die, and some disease is probably going to get us all. And but I think the one we have most control over is divorce. Luckily, I was divorced young when I didn't have anything. But see, when they split it down the middle, you don't actually get half between the courts and lawyers. I mean, if both of you come out with 30%, you're doing well. And so divorce is the most destructive force on the planet. But often, wealth, fear, and divorce, man, those are the two that destroy more wealth. People panicking and selling when prices are down, and then people getting divorced. Those two things destroy more wealth. And if you've been divorced, you know, I feel for you, man. I'm on my second marriage, and it's tough. If you have a spouse that's committed to the wealth-building process, it makes it so much easier. If you have a spouse that isn't, it can really make it a nightmare, and if not, make it impossible. And I sympathize with that. And if you're in that situation, then playing the long game is probably going to be your best bet, meaning most of the time you can convince a spouse, hey, we need to lay up $250, $500, $1,000, whatever's appropriate for your lifestyle. And we need to consistently invest this every month or we'll be broke. For some people, that's going to be the game you have to play. And if that is, then you just have to commit to it, man. And to be honest, my spouse is not into the stock thing at all. She doesn't like stock market, doesn't care about the stock market. She gets sick of me talking about the stock market. It's one of the reasons I do a podcast like this, is trying to, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I work 7 days a week. I enjoy what I do. I don't like sitting around. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to sit at my kid's baseball game and watch him play baseball. You know, I'll go to a game. I'm not going to practice. That's not me not loving my children. I think the best thing I can do for my children is take care of me. That makes sense? I know that's not everyone's view of life, and I you know, that's your view's different. That's cool. But I'm on a mission, and as far as I'm concerned, children are riding with me, and spouses are riding with me. Again, maybe not the best philosophy for everyone, but I think if you're an entrepreneur, it's kind of gotta be, man. You know, and I'm trying to get rich, and I think you should pursue this. This is listening to Grant Cardone the other day, and he says he doesn't like the term rich. He prefers the term wealthy. I mean, whatever, they're words, right? Trying to accumulate more than I need so I can leave a legacy for children and grandchildren. That's what I'm trying to do. But along the way, I've made some huge mistakes. When I was 30, in 1999, we're going back 20 years here, I was an early internet marketer. doing emails marketing. And I had a 7-year run where I made easy money. And I don't want to say it wasn't, you know, it was obviously my working it. I mean, I thought it through. I created the plan. I started the business. So I don't want to say I got lucky, but I was at the right place at the right time in the world. You know what I mean? It's kind of like being in sales and you knocked on the door at just the right time and the guy was opening to listening to what you said. Any other time, you might not have got a meeting. That's kind of, I was at the right place at the right time. And so for about 7 years, I made easy money. $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month. One month, I made $42,000 in a single month. Now, some of you probably make that now. But you got to understand, I went from $900 a month to then making $20,000 a month. Now, the things I did right is I said, I told my wife, hey, let's live on your income. She was making about $3,500 a month. I was making about $900, almost $1,000 a month working at the prison part-time, gave me health care. And I said, listen, I'm going to just give you that check because she manages our household and I manage the investments. But at the time, there were no investments to manage, right? And I didn't know anything about investing. But I said, listen, I'm going to give you that check. And then I'm going to hustle on the side, mowing yards. I was doing anything I could do to make money. Let me take that money and invest it into my network marketing business. Let me invest it into my email marketing business. And let me put it back into growing the lawn care business. Because I really had this idea that I would build this large lawn care business. I would hire people to do the mowing. And then I would, you know, work on other things. And that was my plan, you know. And I got the emails where, you know, I'm making $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month. So I stopped mowing yards, of course. And it seems silly to make $1,000 and then drive across town and spend 2 hours mowing for $40. That, looking back, that may have been a mistake. I could still have that business going and have other people doing it. But for about 7 years, I made silly money. Now, what I did right is I did invest a lot of it. After what was left after taxes, all of it. But I didn't spend it wisely along the way. I overspent. I fixed up houses nicer than they should have been. I paid too many people to help me. It was a lot of, not a lot, but there was a, you know, percentage of just wasted money, of just stupid tax, just messing up, overpaying, not buying things I should have bought as far as properties. But then the killer came in late 30s. I ended up having an affair. And this, if you've ever been in that situation, can be devastating. What could have led to a divorce didn't lead to a divorce. But it really changed my business and my business life. I mean, things were dumped upside down. And so you see that death, divorce, and disease, man. And so that was a huge mistake on both her part and mine. Both having families. She worked for me. And, you know, and that rippled the business. That crippled it, man. I ended up letting employees go. And that set me back. That set me back a good, I mean, honestly, I went into limbo for 4 or 5 years of just trying to maintain. And you know you can't maintain. You're either moving forward or moving backward. That's, you know, it was devastating. Investing in a couple dumb ideas during that time at the same time. You know, you can get lured into these things like Bitcoin and, you know, drop shipping on Amazon. There's a lot of dumb things where some people make money. And if some people can do it, you know, the general rule is then other people can do it. And if you've made money at one thing, you kind of start to feel like you're that special person. You know, oh, well, I did it over here. I can do it there, you know. And that's not always the case. Really smart people fail at things. And not everything's for everyone. It's taken me a while to get this. Just because I could do this well doesn't mean I can do that well. I learned that the hard way by trying to reinvent myself, doing various things on the internet. It just didn't work. And so, in that situation, I think you just keep trying, you keep pushing, you keep trying new things. This is why it's so important to build that foundation of wealth. Because while I went into that limbo, I did have assets that were tax protected, they're tax sheltered accounts. Those things continue to compound, dividends, you know, hundreds to $1,000+ a month, dividends, compounding. For 4 years, I didn't basically save anything, and my wealth continued to grow in the background. Oh, and then those, my real estate that I owned, while I didn't add any more, I didn't even do repairs, to be honest. I kind of went in this 4 year of just trying to balance, because up till that point, I truly had been hiring people to do everything. Well, those people were gone. I'd let my employees go, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, and so I'm trying to do these things myself, and I'm not a handyman. I had to reinvent myself. I had to decide, listen, I own these assets. I need to man up, do the right thing. This isn't rocket science. I mean, come on, you've seen people painting houses and putting on roofs and doing siding. These aren't the smartest people. I'm sure there's some that are. I'm not trying to insult people that work. I do that work now. I'm just saying the things that I do now that are simple, that I understand, you know, they're not complicated. I just had to learn how to do them. A friend of mine's a doctor. He, you know, the idea of pulling back the drywall in his bathroom and fixing everything, it had him paralyzed. And he's a doctor. And so I went in and helped him out, you know, and I was that guy, you know, not 5 years prior, but, and so I had to learn to manage my assets. I had to just say, listen, I'm going to do that. And through that process of just taking ownership of everything that I owned, it seems obvious, right? Like, well, you already own it. Of course you take it. No, I mean like active ownership of it. Like, this is mine. I'm fully responsible. And this is how I began to develop my, what I call my 10 pillars of success. Pillar number one, how you think is everything. Pillar number 10, take full responsibility for everything. And then there's, you know, eight others in between. And it's like, okay, these are mine. How do I think about them? At the end of the day, I'm responsible. And so I just began to manage things. Instead of avoiding my tenants, I begin to confront my tenants, not in a negative tone, but meaning if they call, I immediately say, hey, yeah, what's up? Instead of fearing that call. Because when you get into that slump, when you start to go backwards, you start fearing the calls. You stop not returning the calls. You stop pushing, you know? And things begin, this is why things either go forward or go back. And at some point I just decided, okay, and there's a part of you that's like, hey man, the easy money's gone. And I didn't do more with it. And so you start beating yourself up, you know. And I just dug back into the book, The Science of Getting Rich, you know. That was the book that sparked it all. What am I not doing now? You know, and this is like 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I realized that, you know, yeah, I'd made a lot of mistakes, both financially and relationshiply. If that's obviously not a word, relationshiply, but you know what I mean. I'd made mistakes. I wasn't a tech genius like some people believe. I was just a guy who was a hustler, who's an entrepreneur, who found a niche. That's what entrepreneurs do. I found a niche and I worked it and I made some money. I did some smart things with part of it. I did some dumb things with part of it. You know, I did well in network marketing. I worked that. I did well investing in real estate. I worked that. I did well investing in the stock market. But in each of those, I made some horrendous mistakes. You know, I had a stock go from $72 to zero in 3 days, and I shouldn't have owned it. I knew I shouldn't have owned it, and I did. Trying to be greedy, trying to shortcut it. And I lost like $15,000 in 2 days. Now, obviously I had more money than that invested, but it doesn't, you know, even if you own 30 stocks, for one to go to zero, that sets you back an entire year when you're a normal guy, you know? I mean, I'm putting money in stocks in like $50 at a time, you know, 500 here, 600 there, 1,000 there, sometimes $50 is all I can get in there, right? Because I have other things going. But you know, obviously these numbers add up over time to then drop 15 grand in 2 days. That's a mental setback. And you know what I did? You know what I've been doing when these times happen? When I have a catastrophic event like that in the stock market, I just go make the money and I put it back in. I just go make the money and I put it back in as fast as I can. I just stop everything and I say, listen, that shouldn't have happened. We're going to fix this problem. We're going to fix this portfolio problem. And I just take every dollar and I put it in to fix that problem. I got this idea from Warren Buffett. If you lose money, put it back in and keep going forward. So, you know, the message is that you're going to make mistakes, man. The book can help get you back on the right track. And so I just began to, you know, I read the chapter on gratitude. That, you know, at least I have what I have. And I just began to contemplate on that and think on that. And I realized, okay, these are my avenues to earn more money. And I listed them out. You know, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. These are actual things that are actually making some money now. And so I can improve on those things. And then once I improve on those things, I can then look at, you know, other things that I can improve on. And just begin to systematically bring myself back from this, you know, this place that I was in. And then just say, listen, I made those mistakes. They're done. We can either move forward or not. Your choice. But either way, I'm moving forward. And then, you know, worked it out with the spouse. Worked it out with business, worked it out with customers, and move forward and learn from your mistakes, man. That's my goal, and I'm sure that's probably your goal too.